A brief history of the Holy Roman Empire. The ascension of Henry III. Now, Henry III was only 22 years old when he took the German crown. Although his right as emperor was never questioned by rivals or the Pope, it would almost be 7 years before Henry's formal coronation actually occurred. Interestingly enough, little of historical value seems to have occurred in those first 7 years. He was a devout man who sought peace rather than war. He sought stringently to stop feudal warfare between Christian princes, but ironically went to war himself to subjugate Bohemia and Moravia. These small eastern countries soon fell into his hands, and his control of the east was uncontested. In regard to the western half of the empire, he helped to secure his position through political marriages. Canute's daughter had already died, leaving Henry III free to marry Agnes, daughter of William V of Aquitaine and Poitou. Strong ties were therefore forged between both France and England. All these years, Henry III had strangely put off his coronation. The reason was doubtless his concern over papal corruption that had begun anew under Benedict IX. As a devout man, he did not want to be coronated by the corrupt pope. Perhaps he waited to see if the situation would correct itself. But when it did not, Henry would assert himself to make the correction. Benedict IX had ascended to the papacy in 1032. He was alleged by contemporary observers to have been only 7 years old upon his ascension. But modern scholars have doubted this assertion on the grounds that no one so young could have engaged in as many sexual hijinks and debauchery as he had been accused of, if indeed he had not reached the age of puberty. Benedict IX, like Octavian before him, was accused not only of adultery but of raping young pilgrims. His crimes were alleged to include murder and robbery of pilgrims upon the graves of martyrs. Simony, or selling church offices, was so common under him that one said he followed, quote, in the footsteps of Simon Magnus rather than Simon Peter, end of quote. So vile was he that back in 1033, several nobles tried to assassinate him during Mass. Benedict, however, had many friends in high places. His brother Gregory was the Roman patrician, and he himself was the son of Alberic III, tracing his ancestry back to the Mazzaroni lineage. It was that lineage that he had secured the papacy, and it was with that support that he kept it. Finally, in late 1044, the people of Rome revolted. The Crescenti family had sufficiently managed enough support to raise a rebellion against Tusculans who supported Benedict. Certainly the Tusculan popes had been no better than those of the Crescenti. By January of 1045, bloodshed had forced Benedict IX to flee to his Tusculan protectors, and the Crescenti placed Sylvester III on the papal throne. Benedict argued that he had never been formally deposed, and therefore the election of Sylvester III was invalid. He excommunicated Sylvester with the help of Tusculans, reclaimed the Lateran on March. He soon realized, however, that the people despised him and he would not likely to tolerate him for long. Moreover, Benedict had fallen in love with a cousin and sought her hand in marriage. Although the Pope was allowed a wife at this time in history, her father refused to give his daughter's hand in marriage unless resigned the papacy. This would be a grand compromise for all. In May, only 2 months after resuming the papal throne, Benedict abdicated in favor of John Gratian, a popular man who was part of the reform movement which sought, amongst other things, to outlaw marriage among priests. He was politically a wise choice. He did not gain office legitimately, for an enormous amount of money, some say 2,000 pounds of silver, was secretly paid to Benedict in return for his abdication. The office of the papacy had been sold to the highest bidder. John Gratian took the name Gregory VI. Rome now had two popes, Sylvester III and Gregory VI. Still worse, Benedict IX was scorned by his future wife and reneged on his abdication, again claiming to be the true pope. In 1046, Henry III decided he had waited long enough for his coronation. He would receive the crown and he would receive it from the pope of his choice. He entered into Italy and immediately convened the synod to deal with the issue. Gregory VI, Sylvester III, and Benedict IX were all charged by the Synod of Sutri with simony. Only Gregory VI appeared before the synod, and the accounts differ on exactly what happened. But what is undisputed is that Gregory VI willingly abdicated after formally deposing his rivals. Some scholars argue that Henry III was careful not to circumvent the belief that the Pope could be judged by no man. He therefore is said to have forced Gregory VI to execute his judgment upon Sylvester and Benedict and then abdicate. Other accounts give a more respectful accounting of to Gregory, who said to have gracefully repented of the sin of simony and stepped down remorsefully. He allegedly asked forgiveness for usurping the dignity of Christ. This account is worthy of notice, for among Gregory's followers was a monk named Hildebrand, whom he had taught. He would one day rise to become one of the most famous popes under the name of Gregory the VII. That name Gregory was chosen is no accident. Hildebrand saw Gregory as a sort of a martyr. Gregory had desired reform, but he could see no way to rid the papacy of the tyrant Benedict than to pay the bribe money. When Gregory went into exile, Hildebrand went with him, only to reappear in the pages of history years later. With Gregory having abdicated, the papacy was now vacant. The synod presumably searched all of Rome and could find not a single clergyman worthy. Henry III then nominated a German who became Pope Clement II. Clement II would crown Henry III as Holy Roman Emperor one day after ascending to the office on Christmas Day 1046. In the following months, Clement and Henry would strengthen the role of the emperor. Henry became the Roman patrician as well as emperor, and the Romans were obliged to guarantee that no pope would be elected without the approval of both the patrician and the emperor. Inasmuch as Henry was now both, it made him the supreme authority of the papacy. Further, Henry, as the great emperors before him, again made Rome his imperial city. He knew that the legacy of the empire was in its descent from the Roman Empire. Much of the rebellion and discontent in Italy over the years had stemmed from their pride and the belief that the Germans were usurping the once great dignity of Rome. They felt that the Germans were robbing them of their heritage. Henry III again made the Holy Roman Empire a truly Roman empire. But this honeymoon would not last long, for Clement II died of lead poisoning 9 months after he had crowned Henry. With Henry out of Rome, Benedict returned to claim the vacant throne. Many accused him of poisoning Clement, and the people were not long in driving him out. Benedict remained entrenched only 9 months before he looted the church treasury and fled Rome for his life. He was excommunicated and most likely confined to a monastery, where he died 8 years later. Some say he died repentant of his sins, but others paint the figure of a haunting, unrepentant ghost. Again, the papacy was vacant, and again, Henry III chose a German who took the name Damasus II. Yet again, this pope met his death under mysterious circumstances, for less than a month after assuming office he died. Most likely, poison. The third would live to elect two more popes, the first of whom was Leo IX. What a mess. We continue to have papal problems. But now we're going to be looking at some of the Hildebrandian popes that are coming up. Now the sources for this is Religion and the Holy Roman Empire by Ferguson, Before France and Germany by Gary, The Oxford History of Medieval Europe by Holmes, The Papal Encyclopedia by Bunsen, The Capetian Kings of France, 987 to 1328 by Butler and Adams, French History, Volume 1 by Guizot, Barbarian Invasions by Delbruck, Early Germans by Todd, and The Rise and Fall of the Holy Roman Empire by Criswell. So I hope you enjoyed that, and as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment, check out our merchandise, and if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.